151, and the New York Mets are in the playoffs. They are in the playoffs in one of the most dramatic games I think you will ever see on a baseball diamond. Absurd.
Oh, my gosh. And if we go back, because I'm going to keep bringing this up because of how crazy things started. 0-5. Nobody's in the ballpark. Down 3-0.
Is this rock bottom?
Feels like rock bottom. Feels like rock bottom. It's not. It's not rock bottom.
I was going to send that to you. I was going to be like, I completely forgot that this was this year, this season.
Stan, over the last 100 baseball games, the New York Mets are the best team in the MLB. I just want to put that out there. Outscoring opponents, 571-415. This team is on a mission. Now, granted, they cooled down a little bit in the last few weeks. They're dealing with some injuries. Whatever. Towards the end of the year, it is what it is. I think JD Martinez snaps out of that slump. I think Pete Alonso snaps out of that slump. I think we get to see big boy Alvarez in the playoffs do what he's meant to do. Vientos is going to step it up. I am high on this team. And that's not just because I'm a Mets fan. It's because of the way that they have...
This team is...
I don't want to say...
I will say, this team is very frightening. And anything can happen. We will give our postseason predictions today. This is going to be a two-part episode. This episode is going to come out tomorrow. We will give our NFL recap. Week five already. Week five predictions.
Crazy.
For the contest. I was at the game. It was fucking...
Raining
and miserable.
We'll get to it tomorrow. I just want to say before we do bring it up tomorrow, because we're not talking about it today, and it's the one thing I want to point out on is if the offensive line is going to play like a bunch of morons and not be able to deal with adjustments that have made Aaron Rodgers the MVP Hall of Fame player that he is, then the Jets won't make the playoffs. And that's I'm just going to leave it at that. It comes down to head coaching, and I'm going to slap Robert Saleh's bald head if he finishes this year 800. So we'll leave it at that.
All right. Okay, let's just dive right into it. We're going to go series by series, just like how
we did it last year. Let's talk about game one first of yesterday, Stan. Let's talk about that first.
This hat's annoying me. I'm taking it off. I thought it was...
Probably the best baseball game I've ever watched, just in general. I mean, I've seen other games, but the stakes that mattered in this game, just the way that the Mets came back and then blew it and then came back again. I don't know. I haven't seen anything like this in my life. I will say... If the Mets do go on a run here, Francisco Lindor's name is got to be elevated in the New York Athlete.
I said in a tweet,
pandemonium.
Like that home run is not only big for the Mets season; that is one of the most important home runs in franchise history for the New York Mets.
100%, 100%.
I think you got to start thinking of statues outside of Queens. I think that you have to start thinking about all of these things when it comes to the name Francisco Lindor, because
but a franchise player since he got here. And people are going to argue, Stan, about his hitting stats, about how he was a little slumpish when he first got here comparative to, you know, Cleveland days. I mean, last year he had 30 bombs too. He was 20-20 again, the second year in a row. He's probably had the best stats of any player I've seen consistently, other than David Redd. Obviously, I'm not going to talk about the captain, but build a fucking statue. Build the man. I mean, this is an unbelievable season. And if I know Ohtani, again, historic year, whatever, but if we're really talking about, if we're talking about most valuable to a team, the Mets aren't here without Lindor. There's no, they're not in the playoffs without Lindor.
Not,
I mean, sniffing the postseason without Lindor. Not even close.
I agree. All right. First series. Sorry. We are recording this during game one of the Tigers and Astros game. Tigers are up 3-0 on the Houston Astros in the top of the fifth inning. However, Tim, you do lean differently with this series?
Yeah, I have the Astros coming out on top. And I think for me, why I think that is, as hot as the Tigers are, I'm going off of the pedigree that the Astros have. This team is very similar to what they've been. Obviously, they're aging. It is what it is. But when I think of a clutch baseball team, a team that always gets it done in October, the Houston Astros are the first team that comes to mind. So I'm not ready to rule them out in a wild card series. I think they do get it done over the Tigers. I know it was a tough first game, but for how Framber's been pitching historically in the playoffs, I mean, this is nothing new. I mean, after this game, is going to be 0-5, 0-4 with above
something
9 ERA.
Like something like that. Yeah, I have the Astros taking this series in 3. Even AJ Hinch knows
the situation here. When he was asked, like, what's the pitching strategy for this series? It's going to be Tarik Skubal in game one and then chaos for games two and three. He doesn't really know what the fuck he's doing with the rotation right now. I don't think anyone knows what the fuck he's doing with the rotation right now. I think the pitching is going to catch up to Houston. I believe starting for the Astros tomorrow, or it hasn't been announced yet, but I think right now I'm going to go with the Astros. But I got to admit, though, it's a nice story for the Detroit Tigers. It gives them something to. It's an outstanding story. You got the AL Cy Young winner. It seems like the most, when you're worried about the Detroit Tigers, is in the seventh inning or later with all those comeback wins, come from behind wins that they've had. Again, it's a nice story. I just think that the pitching is going to catch up to Detroit and Houston's going to take this series in three.
I agree. And I will say, if not for the Mets, this is probably the story of the MLB season, a team that completely turned it around in the last 2 months and snuck their way into the playoffs. So good for them. Obviously, throwing Skubal game one, it's, you know, I mean, Tarik Skubal is unbelievable. So you can't rule them out of game one, but game two and three, I think the Astros do get it done.
Next up, the Baltimore Orioles taking on the Kansas City Royals. And this one's a tough one because I feel like this is a very evenly matched series. They have two of the best young. We got two of the best young players in baseball at the same position with Gunnar Henderson and Bobby Witt. Adley Rutschman add on top of it. Vinny Pasquantino's coming back. You have the veteran leadership of Salvador Perez. Not only that, you have the starting pitching. Kansas City does have the starting pitching. Cole Reagans, Seth Lugo, Michael Wacha. I'd be afraid of that for a three-game series. The Orioles pitching hasn't really been the greatest. You know, Corbin Burns hasn't been on his game. They lose Grayson Rodriguez for the season. You got to rely on Cade Povich for a game two, but at the same time, the Royals do not hit left-handed pitching that well. So a lot of questions going into this. Should be a very entertaining series. Tim, I'm curious what you have here.
I'm taking the Royals to win this. I don't know if it's going to be in two or three. I just think, listen, this has been a conversation we've had for almost 2 months now. Or what is wrong with the Orioles? What is wrong with them? Why can't they figure it out? This isn't the same team we saw that started the season. And, you know, baseball is really who gets hot at the right time. You look at the Phillies. You look at the Nationals. You even go back to last year, the two teams. You look at the Diamondbacks and Rangers. But these are teams that get hot at the right time and perform in the playoffs. And the Orioles just haven't been that team. I'm not saying that KC is, you know, hot as a fireball, but the Orioles have been, honestly, nothing but disappointing in these last 2 months. They've been subpar. I mean, there was questions if they were going to win the division. That was thrown out the window about 3 weeks ago. So I think right now they're kind of trying to get their footing back, and this is not the right time to do that. It's the playoffs. This is not where you try and figure out who you are as a team and how we can come back from what we've, you know, the adversity we've been through. I like the Royals here. I think the Royals do get it done. I know it's a younger team. I like you said, they do have that veteran presence, but they're led by Bobby Witt, who honestly might be the most well-rounded player in the entire sport.
League batting champion, excuse me. Yeah, I agree. I have the Royals, I don't know about two or three, but I do have the Royals coming out of here winning this series. It's just that the Orioles have just been so inconsistent, and especially now with the pitching that Kansas City has, I think the Orioles struggle here, and I know Santander has been hitting 40 home runs. Gunnar Henderson has been one of the best leadoff hitters in baseball. But right now, how can you not buy this rags-to-riches story? The Royals lost 100 games last year. Now, granted, they do have one of the best young, promising players in the sport. But the way that they've built this team, no one
just
really
completely
expected,
turned it around, except
no
you.
No one really expected them to be here. No
except
one did
you,
it
except you, and I will. We can pull that clip up. You were the one who said start of the season. I would not be shocked if KC sneaks into the playoffs. So I will say, Stan, you were the one who did call it. I was completely wrong. I had the White Sox outperforming a couple teams. But
oh,
I will
yeah.
say,
oh, you
historically bad season.
Oh,
we won't get to that. Oh. But I will say you got this one right, and I think you continue to ride this hot hand. The great pitching, like you said. I mean, no one expected Seth Lugo to have a sub-2.5 ERA. Things just happen. And I think this team's riding hot pitching, and they're going to continue to win ball games. Will it happen in the second round? We'll see. But we're not worried about that right now.
Next, to the National League, we have – who do we want to start? Do we want to start with the Mets, or should we go Padres?
We can go Padres, Braves. I think that not a more interesting series, but definitely let's see what can happen here.
I think the Padres dominate.
Me too.
I think the Padres dominate.
Me too. But that being said, I will say, you know, obviously the Mets split with the Braves yesterday. The Braves are getting hot at the right time. Matt Olson's OPS has been up to what it used to be from going into last year. You get a guy back. Obviously, he's still hurt at second base. And, you know, he can't bat both-handed. He's only batting from the right side. But Albies is still, you know, you get what you get from him. He's a productive player. He's an all-star. I think, obviously, San Diego's heating up, too. Machado's having a career year from what we've seen. Tatis is playing phenomenal. I think it's going to be more interesting than you think. I know, obviously, I'm giving San Diego the leg in the starting pitching. But Chris Sale, game one, I mean, it's... I don't know.
No Chris Sale.
Oh, you're right. He has back spasms. Right, you're right.
No Chris Sale. No,
you're right.
It's coming down. It's who did they announce? It's AJ Smith. How do you say it? AJ Smith Schwalber.
Yeah.
AJ Smith Schwalber.
The Schweldenbach guy. Fucking dude looks like Prime Dylan G. Jesus Christ! How many groundouts can you get?
Prime Dylan G. If you look at this Padres team right now, how can you not love them? They're the hottest team in baseball right now. The starting pitching has been excellent. Michael King, who was basically the main piece that San Diego got from that Juan Soto trade, has been playing outstanding baseball this past month. Jackson Merrill is in the conversation for National League Rookie of the Year. Manny Machado
probably should win it.
Great year. Probably should.
I'm going to say, almost every game, batted almost 300.
That's true. That's true. But I think if Paul Skeens doesn't win this award, that it just goes to prove you that pitchers will never win an MVP or Rookie of the Year ever again.
True. You could say that, or you could look at the value that Jackson Merrill's brought to this team and sitting in the fourth wild card. It's hard for a guy who bet 300 and you're looking at a guy who played almost every game. We'll get to that later, but I'm with you. I think the Padres win. I do think the Padres win, but I do think...
Don't forget. Machado, Tatis, Luis Arraez.
Yeah. I think this goes to three.
We need to talk about the effects of Luis Arraez. The fact that this man has won batting titles with three different teams. First player ever to win three batting titles with three different teams.
One in the AL, too.
It is not getting talked about enough. You know what's also not getting talked about enough? That AJ Hinch is currently beating his former team, which includes basically all of the guys, the core guys, Altuve and Bregman, and maybe Yordan Alvarez if he's included in that conversation, but not being talked about.
No, you're right. You're right. I will say, though, going to your Luis Arraez point, winning batting title, is there a point that we get to where you start looking at other metrics than average? Because when you do look at that, I will say Ohtani led the NL in every other statistical category except for batting average. And I get it. I understand what the title's for. But Ohtani batting 310 compared to the 313 that Arraez has, and he's leading in every other statistical category. Is there a point where we look at the batting title and say, hey, we might have to switch up what we base this off of, because batting average with these advanced metrics now, not saying it's not as valuable, but there's more that goes into it. So that's
true.
A question we might have to raise.
That's true. But again, I think the Padres dominate the series. I just think that the Braves are just out of gas. Like, that's kind of what I think. You play an emotional doubleheader, and this is where I think the Mets have the advantage over the Braves here, because the Mets
take game
didn't
two
really
off.
They took game two off, number one, and number two, they don't have to travel far.
Nope.
They go to Milwaukee. The Braves got to go to the other side of the country in the West Coast, and they got to play on a three-hour delay. It's not – I'm not too big on the Braves. I'm not that big.
I think they lose game one, but I think they win game two. I do have San Diego winning the series, but I do think it goes to three. I think it might be a little –
And I just want to say, the bullpen, the Padres just have every advantage. They have the lineup.
100%. The closer for Atlanta has been terrible in the last few months.
I know Robert Suarez has been struggling, but still they have so many other guys to rely on with Jason Adam and Tanner Scott. Like, this bullpen is probably the most feared bullpen. It's a deep bullpen, and it's probably one of the most feared bullpens in the sport. I don't know what to tell you. But yeah, I got the Padres dominating this one. Tim, I think we all know what you have for this next wild card series. I think it goes without saying.
Let's get it done.
5:30, you say? 5:30 a ton?
5:35 is something like that. It's around 5.
Okay. I'm just going to say it. And I'm going to say this as an emotional hedge, because I've been rooting for the Mets all year. But I got to take this into account. I have the Brewers taking this in three. And I'll tell you, and it's, I'll say this. I have been doubting the Milwaukee Brewers all year. I think everybody all year has been doubting the Milwaukee Brewers. You know, they lose in the wild card series to Arizona. Craig Counsell leaves town, goes to Chicago, and everyone thinks, all right, this is kind of it. And then, you know, they fought through adversity. Christian Yelich hasn't really is out for the year. But then Jackson Churio out of nowhere.
Unbelievable.
Oh my goodness. Unbelievable. The pitching has been all right. It's been substantial. I mean, Freddie Peralta has done pretty well. I'm just going to say it. I think that it's just the Brewers have the Mets number. I think that they have their number.
They did in the regular season. Now, I will say playoff baseball is a completely different thing. And the thing that I'm most leaning on towards is as how many comeback behind wins the Mets have had this year, I think second most in the league. They're phenomenal coming from behind. I don't know if they're going to have to in this series. And I know that Brewers have had our number all year. I am really heavy and reliant on how well the starting pitching is going to do. I think Luis Severino, you have the veteranship with him, Sean Manaea. These two guys have been phenomenal this year. Shawnee M might be probably a top 10 pitcher in baseball if we're looking at stats this year. And with the way
that Quintana too
in his last five starts has been phenomenal. So it's just the way that this starting group has rallied together and how efficiently the bullpen's come through. As bad as it seemed on paper to start the year, it's been one of the better bullpens in baseball for the latter half, the second half of the season. So it's the way that this pitching has really come together. I think the lineup will finally get its spark back. I know guys like J.D. Martinez and Pete Alonso are slumping, but again, it's October baseball. It's completely different. And I know you like to ride a hot hand, but people get hot at the right times. Different emotions, different atmospheres. I think this team had zero expectations going into the year. I know Milwaukee's sort of in the same boat. But even in the middle of the season, you're getting written off. I think that's a chip on the shoulder. They're going to use it as motivation. Lindor's going to stay hot, clearly. Knock on wood, but I'm going to say that.
Wow, and bold.
Yeah, I think they're going to finally piece it together. Now, obviously, Milwaukee's been the tougher opponent compared to San Diego this year, but you win the last one they played against them 5-0. I think you ride that hot hand and roll over into today, and they get the job done. I know, obviously, they're on travel, and them and the Braves have the two probably worst situations out of any other team in this because of the doubleheader they had to play yesterday. I think they're going to be riding that high. I think they're going to ride the high of that comeback victory. I think they get it done in game one. I think they get it done in game two. I think this is two games and out. I don't even see it going to three. And that's not me just being as biased of a Mets fan as I can. I know they're two in like
you're right
against them this year. But I don't know. With the spark I saw yesterday and the way they played, coming back from another come down victory and probably the most important game of the season, you got to ride that hot hand. And I'm going to continue to ride it. So I'm taking the Mets in two.
It's been such a struggle, not like a struggle of a year, but it's been
a roller coaster.
It's been a roller coaster of emotions. Again, I would not be shocked if the Mets come out of this series alive, because then you take on a Philly team that you've played pretty well against.
Had their number again. It's October, but they've had their number.
But yes.
And the Phillies are on a bye. People don't take that to account as much as you think. I know it's baseball and not hockey and football where teams come off byes and there is obviously not as stale. But I think that bye might get to the Phillies a little bit. And I think if the Mets can get this done in two, they're just going to roll over and just keep that hot bat streak going, just keep everything moving. But again, it's going to start for me again. Starting pitch is going to stay hot. It's if these guys can get out of slumps. And my money's on a veteran guy like J.D. Martinez, who is a career 280 hitter in the playoffs, is going to get out of his somewhat terrible last 2 months of the year.
I look to Luis Severino, and he's starting game one. That 5 ERA on the road is not the greatest.
No, it's definitely not
the greatest. So there's a little bit of worry with that. But then game two, I would be confident in game two with Sean Manaea, and then game three you get Quintana. And then hopefully
– Or Peterson. Peter, you could throw Peterson if you need to.
If you need him. I don't know. So we're going to go ALDS now. Let's go with the Yankees. Yankees clinch the division. I have them taking on the Royals.
So do I.
So some injury updates, because what's the Yankees in playoff time without injuries? Jake Cousins is scheduled to throw a bullpen tomorrow and is on track to be ready for the ALDS. Nothing new regarding Anthony Rizzo, who broke two of his fingers. He remains a long shot to be ready for the ALDS, and he is receiving treatment, which probably means Ben Rice is a legitimate candidate to make the postseason roster. My question for you, what do you do with the situation in left field? Because right now you have two guys, Jason Dominguez, who is playing out of position but is a great bat, or Alex Verdugo, whose bat hasn't been the best, although he did get a nice big RBI double in the 162nd game against Pittsburgh, but has an outstanding glove in left field.
I would throw Verdugo out there. I think defense is very valuable in the playoffs. As much as you want Dominguez as hot back in, he's a young guy, and you know we haven't really seen him play October ball at all. I don't think we have. So I would start with Verdugo because of how poor he is defensively. I don't think the bat at this point in his career yet will outweigh how bad he is defensively, because one error, two errors in left field can completely change a ball game. Completely.
Absolutely. Oh. Every play matters. I think that if you're – and it's like – I know we were all upset when they didn't call up Dominguez at first. Then he comes back – or comes in.
I kind of see why they didn't, though. I'm starting to see why they didn't.
I'm gonna be Switzerland with this and say you can't go wrong with either, but I'd much rather have the glove than the bat right now.
And what I'm going to compare Dominguez to is exactly the Mets situation. I'm going to say he's a lot like a Jesse Winker right now, where when you're looking at a guy like Harrison Bader in center field, when you get to the seventh inning, and I don't know their situation, obviously, if they have another guy off the bench that can come in and play defense, but if you need an electric pinch hitting at bat, a guy like Dominguez is a nice guy to come off the bench. That's a good piece to have in a seventh inning at bat where you need a guy to get a hit. So I would roll with that to start. Obviously, if they lose game one, maybe game two, and then you're looking at, all right, what can we change differently? But I think you keep it the way it is. I have the Yankees winning this series. I just think there's too much star power.
It comes down to the star power. But I will say, it might be closer than you think. Like, let's not expect this to be a steamrolling series, and it's solely because of the pitching. And we've seen the Yankees go on these cold streaks where the offense becomes non-existent. For the Yankees pitching, on the other hand, Cole's coming on at the right time. He had a stellar outing against Baltimore when we clinched the division. I think that Rodon, I'm very confident in Carlos Rodon. I will say that. Now, I don't know what you do with that third starting spot, because remember, Nestor Cortez is on the IL. They said he would be ready by the ALCS. So that leaves you with Clark Schmidt, Marcus Stroman, or Luis Gil.
It feels like a win-by-committee kind of thing.
I think you might
have to win by committee there, because I don't see a world where you start Stroman and he gives you five, you know, solid innings. I just don't anymore.
Well, now, here's the thing. With Stroman, his last start against Baltimore, it wasn't really his fault, because you had the Dominguez botched fly ball, you had the Jazz Chisholm error, and then you're already going in down 3-0 in the first inning off of two plays that should be made. But it's, I don't know.
But like, this has been, for him, for the way he's pitching now compared to the start of the season, it's been a common trend through the last four, three seasons, where when he gets to the second half, his arm starts to fall off. And I don't think a 90-mile-an-hour sinker, no offense, is just really going to cut it as your dominant pitch in the playoffs. If you can locate it, like, I don't even know what to compare it to. I don't see that being a feasible, give him the ball, let's go. Know. So I don't know if that's your really third option.
And again, you
bring Luis Gil into conversation. Do you really want to give a young guy like that the ball? Who honestly, he had a dominant first half, but the Mets got to him. All these other teams got him in the second half. It just doesn't seem like he's the right guy.
I think he's going to get Rookie of the Year votes. Do not get me wrong. I think he's had an outstanding year. And the fact that this guy was pitching in 2021, my senior year of high school, and now here we are, our senior years of college, and this is technically his rookie year, which is just hilarious. Baseball, man. I don't know. This is how it goes. But anyway, I think that you cannot be relying on a guy with major command issues in the postseason. I think you're almost better off putting him in the bullpen. And I think I said this last episode, you're better off putting him in the bullpen as like a Madison Bumgarner type thing. And I'm not comparing Luis Gil to Madison Bumgarner, but I'm just saying if you need a long relief guy, there's your guy.
It makes so much more sense.
And maybe Marcus Stroman. And now here's the thing. The Yankees don't really have a guy in the bullpen that can really throw triple digits, if we're being honest.
There's your guy. I don't know why there's that hasn't, and maybe it is a conversation they've had around the organization that they haven't really made public yet, but I think this is something they really need to consider and think about going into next series, whether, you know, is he a setup man? Is he a guy you bring in the seventh inning, in the sixth inning to get you to the eighth, and then from the eighth, you know, you bring in Clay Holmes or you know, whatnot. I think they got to start asking these questions. You really got to figure out this third pitcher because, like you said, I'm still with you with the star power thing. I think the Yankees lineup with the stars they have is way too much for KC. But if it does come down to terrible starting pitching and they're not, the Yankees can't keep control and they're leaving guys on and they're walking batters, this could get out of hand real quick. So
yeah, I agree. Next series in the AL, I think we both have the Astros and the Guardians.
Yes, we do.
I have the Astros.
I have the Guardians.
All right, my standpoint of this, we're going to treat this in honor of tonight's vice presidential debate. We will debate this respectfully and only speak when spoken to.
Liar!
They're eating the dogs. I'm just going to say that I'm just not going to doubt the Houston Astros in the playoffs unless they prove me wrong. Like, that's kind of where I'm at. The Guardians pitching, I'm not that impressed with. I believe they're still trotting out Cookie Carrasco out there. I think it's a miracle within itself that
he's even in the MLB.
That he's even in the MLB, number one. And number two, the fact that he is in the starting rotation for a 90-something win team is nice to hear. It is nice. I just think that when you have it's a short bridge to the ninth inning, and you need length from your starting pitchers, and I just don't think it's going to cut it. Tanner Bibee, like, I'm not really putting that much faith in Tanner Bibee to be the top starter. And now, don't get me wrong, Emmanuel Clase A has been the best closer in baseball.
Arguably the best pitcher.
Could be. But Cade Smith, Hunter Gaddis, and Tim Herron, that's the shortest bridge to the ninth inning. And if any of those guys fuck up, like, this is.
Yeah, but I think you could flip that argument and say the same thing for the Astros. Verlander doesn't make the postseason roster to start. Framber has a terrible first start today. You got faith in Ronald Blanco, Hunter Brown. Obviously, these guys are, you know, Kikuchi. I mean, they're not terrible, but I don't think starting pitchers really the huge.
I will say this. The X factor for Cleveland is Lane Thomas, because he has not performed well since Cleveland traded for him from Washington.
I will say, though,
they've gotten the production from J-Ram. He was a homer away from a 40-40 season.
That's what I'm going to say. This motherfucker's unbelievable.
They've gotten the production from Naylor. They've gotten the production from Kwan. They need someone else. They need someone else, and Lane Thomas has to be the guy.
Yeah,
Cleveland needs to prove that they traded for the right guy.
And I'm going to compare a guy like Jose Ramirez to Kawhi Leonard. Where you know he doesn't get recognition as the best player in the NBA, but when you look at his numbers,
Jose Ramirez ain't getting hurt every year.
Okay, I'm saying numbers wise. Let's go sub 2018 or 2019 when they win the ring. I'm just saying when you look at numbers wise, you're not getting recognition as the best player in the league. But oh my God, this guy might be one of the best players in our generation. He is.
You're not wrong. It's just I think that Cleveland is going to rely on their bullpen a lot. And that's what might cost them. They need length from their starters. I just don't think they're going to get it. And at the same time, I am not doubting the Houston Astros unless I'm proven wrong.
And they get
knocked out of this wild card series right now. Right.
That being said, we'll see how this Tigers series goes. Because if they can beat up the bullpen a little bit, the Tigers and the starting pitching, now you're looking at another series where you got a healthy, fresh.
And you're facing a division rival. So that's like.
Exactly.
That could be a whole different beast.
Exactly.
that could be a whole different beast.
Exactly.
All right, let's go to the National League. I have Padres. Padres, Dodgers, and then
you have Brewers.
Thank you.
We'll start the one we both have. We'll just start at that. I am in the same boat as you. I think the Padres get it done against the Dodgers, and
I think they do too. And I seriously think that there is a. I don't want to call it a talent gap, Because don't get me wrong, Shohei having one of the best offensive seasons that we've seen from a Major League Baseball player is definitely not going to be forgotten.
But the Padres lineup is so much more deep. It's so much deeper.
It's so much more. It's I don't know what it is. And on top of that, the Dodgers pitching right now.
Not great.
The rotation is not great. Yamamoto, Flaherty, Bueller, and what's the other guy's name? And he got shelled in Colorado. Or I believe he got shelled in Colorado. I could be wrong. Let me find this. No, he gave up one long home run to Sam Hilliard. It was Landon Knack. Landon Knack.
Yeah.
Landon Knack. And I know Kershaw is probably going to come back, but is it going to be too little too late?
And what does that really even mean to them for a guy who's been a very bad playoff performer in his career?
Yeah.
Is that really anything crazy?
Here's the thing. We don't know. We've never seen. My thing is with this big three. And who knows if Freddie Freeman might play because he's hurt. All I'm going to say is this. Mookie Betts in his past two postseasons is 2-for-25. Freddie Freeman went 1-for-10 in the postseason last year. We have not seen Shohei Ohtani taken at bat in a postseason game.
Nope.
That says a lot.
But also, that being said, he's fucking Shohei Ohtani. So I'm not going to say he's going to – anything's really going to get to him. I mean, we saw him in the World Baseball Classic outperform Mike Trout. So
That's true.
I will say he's been under pressure before.
He's been under pressure a lot. And a lot of people are saying don't sleep on this Dodgers lineup because we know Teoscar Hernandez, Tommy Edmonds kind of come into his own since coming back from injury. It's just...
Is Shohei out of the bullpen a question or no?
I haven't heard anything about that, so probably not, but I wouldn't be shocked.
I know he was throwing live bullpens, and they definitely had him at a pitch limit max. I get that, but if he says he can throw... And he can give you a setup inning. Who are you to say no? You know, like in what? You're no position to say no.
Yeah, you're not wrong. You're not wrong on that one. I just don't know. I'm thinking like it's almost like watching the Cowboys, and it's like the Cowboys
should work.
Like they're not winning shit.
It should work. It should work, but it doesn't. When you're looking at it,
Yeah. It should work, but it doesn't. I just can't see it. I have the Padres winning this series. It's going to go five. I'll say that. It might go 4 or 5 games, but I have the Padres winning this series.
Me too.
All right. I have Brewers-Phillies. You have Phillies-Mets. Again, I think we all know where you're going with that. I have the Phillies over the Brewers. I just think it's a talent thing. I think that Philly has the pitching. They've been here before. I feel like this is finally like the first time that we've seen the Phillies be the Phillies. You know what I mean? Because 2 years ago, they started off slow. They fired Joe Girardi. They bring in Rob Thompson. And then they go on this run to the World Series. The next year, they start slow. Then they come back. And then they make a wild card spot. And they go to game 7 of the NLCS. It feels like this year's team kind of just stayed good all throughout the year. I know they didn't get the one seed in the NL. But it just feels like that this team has just stayed consistently good. Great pitching, number one, with Nola, Wheeler, Christopher Sanchez is now in that conversation. The bullpen has been iffy. I know you get Sir Anthony. Or no, he's on Baltimore now, right? Sorry. Oh, my God.
Does it even matter? The fact that you bring Sir Anthony Dominguez, like, ugh.
I'm sorry. I don't even know if that's... Jose Alvarado, Matt Strom. I just think that this bullpen...
And Jose Alvarado hasn't been phenomenal. He hasn't been very good.
The bullpen is, like, the big question, but I don't know. I just think, will they be hindered by the bye? That is my question.
And we'll have to see.
We'll have to see. Because the past 2 years, they've been active wildcard teams.
Mm-hmm. This is the first time they've had a bye.
First time they've had a bye. So we'll see. I'm very curious.
I'm taking the Mets just solely off of they've had their number all year. No matter who they've thrown, it does not matter. The Mets will find a way to get a hit off him. I mean, even when they threw Wheeler, they got him out in the fourth inning when they faced him this year.
Hate to interrupt, but I got breaking news.
What's that?
Devontae Adams has informed the Las Vegas Raiders that he wants to be traded.
J-E-T-S, Jets.
Oh, boy. I can't wait for what I saw tomorrow and just tell my story from the Jet game.
Yeah, because it was great.
Oh my God. I mean, it was great. The atmosphere was awesome. It was fucking great.
How many fucking penalties can they get? I don't even want to get.
I know. All right. You have the Mets. Now we got AL and NLCS. You have the Mets and the Padres and the Yankees and the Guardians. I have the Yankees and the Astros, the Phillies and the Padres, just like 2022. Just to save time, I have different results from 2022. I have the Yankees taking down the Astros and the Padres taking down the Phillies. I think that, again, on the NL side of things, there has been – it's just this Padres lineup is insane. And it's like top flight bullpen, top flight rotation, top flight lineup. And that's even saying that – I'm even saying that without Ha-Sung Kim in the lineup because he's injured.
Yep.
And now don't get me wrong. I know what the Phillies are capable of. This is definitely going to be a 6-7 game series if the Padres and the Phillies match up with each other, and it's going to make for great baseball. But right now,
hotter team.
How can you not take the hotter team in San Diego right now? Yankees, Astros. The Yankees have owned the Astros all regular season, and I know what we're going to say. And I know I was like, I'm not going to doubt the Houston Astros until they prove me otherwise.
Well, they're getting proved otherwise here.
They're getting proved otherwise. And to think, and to really think about it, Joe Espada has not been in a spot like this. And unfortunately, and I'm not saying like Aaron Boone has, but Aaron Boone has, in order to learn to win, you got to learn how to lose. And that is what Aaron Boone has done during his tenure as manager.
He's only learned how to lose.
He's only learned how to lose. And I think it changes this year. The Yankees taking down the Astros in six.
I don't hate it.
Six games.
Plus,
the starting pitching is like a big question for Houston, but I just know that Justin Verlander is going to come back in the playoff roster, play the Yankees, and go 7 scoreless and strike out like 12. Like I know that's going to happen. Todd Frazier swing and miss still lives in my head. Like that was
like
the most
just like the Lucas Duda overthrow.
Yeah, like the Todd Frazier swing and miss like lives in my head every day. So I have a Yankees Padres World Series.
I have two different series game matchups here. I have Mets Philly. Oh, I'm sorry. I have Mets Padres and Yankees Guardians. Now I'll go to the Yankees Guardians series to start. I will say I could very much see this going either way, but I did this last year and I'm going to do it again.
I can't believe here's my, I saw Tim's bracket before this. Can't believe you didn't go Subway Series. I can't believe we both didn't go Subway Series.
I know, and I would be happier if it was a Subway Series just because of how intense that would be. But I'm going to pick the Guardians, and I'm going to pick the Guardians, and this may just be a personal vendetta, but I did this last year, and I had the Rangers making the World Series. I didn't have them winning, but I had them getting there, and this is the team that I think is sort of – I obviously built a little differently, but if their bats can stay hot, and I think Jose Ramirez, I mean, he's got to win at some point, right? Again, it's one of those guys for me. He's got to get something done.
Click.
Yeah, and I think this could be the year for that. Now, I could see this going both ways, so I'm very tossed in the air for this. I did mull over this for a little bit. I clicked both teams about three different times and looked at it. So I'm very 50-50, but I do think the Guardians will take this one out. Going to the other side of things, Padres-Mets. How can you not be romantic? It's in the air.
The Mets have played them well. The Mets have played them well.
4-0, they have the season series against them. They didn't lose a single game to them, and I just think the magic's with Grimace, and I'm rolling with it.
The magic is with Grimace. Oh my God!
So that leaves you with a Yankees Padres World Series, and I'm going to go on a limb here and say that you do have the Yankees coming out on top of them.
And I'm going to go out on a limb and say you have the Mets taking down the Guardians.
Oh my God!
Oh yeah. I mean, come on.
Like, how can you not? I cannot be fucking romantic about baseball, all right? My team's getting this done, your team's not, and we'll just leave it at that. We'll leave it at that, all right?
Shut up. No question about it. I am ready to be hurt again when it comes to postseason baseball.
How can I even be hurt? I'm just happy to be here.
Yeah, I think the two of us, even though we're both in the playoffs, we are in two very different situations right now. We are like,
I am just
you're like you're
so
just
happy to be here.
if you put it to three, if you bring it to three games against Milwaukee, it's like, you know what? Good job. We got something to build on.
This, Yankees got to get it done.
For me, it's like, if we lose, oh my God, I hope Juan Soto comes back.
Yeah. There's a lot of, what are we going to do in the offseason if the Yankees don't get this done?
Questions.
But for the Mets,
last dance for Glaber too. Like this is,
and you know what? Being a Mets fan right now, Stan, is like being a freshman on the end of the bench in varsity basketball. Right? You're just happy to be here. You're on the team. You're with the rest of the big dogs. You're happy to be there. And you know what? Maybe halfway through the season, that freshman starts to show up in practice and get some minutes and find their way into the starting lineup. So hopefully, the Mets can string some things together here. If they get out of this 3-game series, I mean, it's really hard to bet against a team that's been the best team in baseball for the last 100 games. So I'm rolling with it. LFGM, baby.
Sure. That's our postseason preview. 41 minutes.
That's impressive. Bad.
But we got one more thing to talk about, and it's the New York Knicks, baby. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Well, I will say,
we needed a center and we got one. Oh, we got one.
I'm going to say something that it doesn't even relate to that because I just think it's funny. You're like, we do have two more things to talk about. The first thing, very exciting and happy. The second thing, not so exciting and happy.
It's oh, funny. Yeah, shit.
It's just funny that you're like, the New York fucking Knicks, baby.
No. Like, all right, here's my...
You want to... Actually, should we... Because just keep it on baseball so we can keep the spirits high when we talk the Knicks. Okay. We'll just bring this up now just so we can... We won't deflate, you know, the positivity that has been instilled in you. Yes. Hall of Famer and probably I'm gonna say second best hitter of all time because I'm a Tony Gwynn stan, but one of the greatest hitters of all time. Pete Rose did pass away, so shout out Peter Murray. I know his dad has a shrine of Pete Rose in his basement.
Oh yeah,
I'm not even kidding.
The Joe Murray. I've seen the shrine.
Yeah, like, that I know.
Joe Murray was a big Pete Rose. It still is a big. Pete
yeah,
Rose
I know.
Guy.
And he sent a picture actually to Pete of the shrine. It was a tough day for him, so. Again, just our prayers to the family and RIP and a baseball legend. Now, to the positive news for you.
Well, another one, if we're going to mention it, Dikembe Mutombo passing away as well.
Yeah, brain cancer.
Yes, very sad.
58.
One of the greatest shot blockers of this generation. Of all time. Of this generation, of all time, sorry. This sucks. No. Those Geico commercials will live in my head forever.
Forever.
Outstanding man, outstanding basketball player. Rest in peace to Dikembe Mutombo. All right. Now to the cat trade. So there were a lot of questions. There were a lot of questions, and I think that they have been answered. Mitchell Robinson, turns out that ankle injury is much more serious than they thought it was. They expected him to be back at the beginning of the season. Turns out he needed another operation on that ankle, so now he's out until December or January. Julius Randle, his status for the season opener was in question, and that was with the shoulder. We didn't know if he was going to be back. We needed a center, and this was my initial reaction. My initial reaction was, like, this couldn't have waited until the deadline. Like, this couldn't have waited until the deadline. That was sort of my reaction, because it was like, let's see how the center depth is. Because right now your center depth was probably going into the season without the cat trade was probably going to be Precious Achiuwa and Jericho Sims. This is not good, but again, you still kind of want to have like a feeling out process. I think that Leon Rose is ready. He's ready. And even if you don't see the Karl Anthony Towns trade as like a big like upgrade, like this doesn't make the Knicks better. I'll say this.
So much better.
It does. I'm just going to say this. This spacing that the Knicks are going to have now.
That's what I was. It's the floor spacing. It's
so
the floor spacing.
Much on Jalen Brunson. It unlocks so much. Because before, you had Brunson driving in for a layup. You knew you had Mitchell Robinson down low underneath. The shooting was kind of a question for Josh Hart. But still, you had Dante DiVincenzo and OG. Now all five guys on the floor are a threat to shoot the three. Absolutely. Yeah. And I will say this, a Cat Brunson defense could be a little bit scary, but I think that we have enough wings where it's like, okay, all right, we're fine. I think, with Hart, OG, and I agree.
Well, I think
Hart, OG, and Bridges. Sorry,
I think a trade like this again is sort of, and you build teams in football like the Jets build their team to beat the Bills and whatever. This seems like the Knicks are gearing up to play the Celtics, and this is what they needed to space the floor better to have at least some competitive edge against them. What I will say, you got to think about this though.
Porzingis is out for the like almost the first half of the year.
Yeah, but they don't need him until the second.
I know they don't need him, but let's just say this: it's guns blazing right now. If you're a Knicks fan, because if you get off to a hot start in the first half, in the first half of the season, it's a realistic shot you could finish ahead of the Celtics. There's a very realistic shot that could happen.
And I think we're looking at now possible Eastern Conference, maybe better than the Western Conference. I think you're looking at top four teams in the East. I would match them up against top four teams in the West. And I know you're not going to say Cleveland is that much of a threat, but I swear to you, if you watch the game they play and the style they play, any team they match up in the Eastern Conference with defensively, really not too much of an issue. So I will say that if you're going to undermine Cleveland offensively, yeah, maybe a little bit. They might be a little one-dimensional. You could expect a big bounce back year from Darius Garland. But when I look at the top four teams in the East, the Knicks, the Celtics, the Sixers, and the Cavs, I have no problem playing any
Milwaukee?
Of them. I don't even have them in the top four anymore. I'm sorry.
I don't think that situation's going to work out. I know that they get their jokes and all, but come on. Milwaukee's finishing as a top five team in the Eastern Conference.
I did four. I said they were top five. I didn't have them top four. But you can even go top five. All right. Say the top five teams then.
You have
any issue matching up any of those top five teams against any of the top five teams in the West? Really? I don't.
Denver?
I don't. I don't anymore. I really don't. And
We gotta see some games first, and then we can have a fair perception of.
Because I will say, all of what I'm banking on is that Darius Garland's an all-star again. So I'm gonna leave that there.
Yeah. For who we gave up, it obviously sucks. Broke up the Nova Knicks. Number one, we thought we were gonna have.
Well, that was DiVincenzo, right?
Apparently, there was a rumor that DiVincenzo wasn't so happy that we traded for Mikal Bridges because to be honest, it kind of made sense because here he is coming off of a career year, finishes the season as the second best shooter in the NBA behind Steph Curry, and he's being rewarded for his career year as by
taking a seat on the bench,
being a seventh man. But then he vehemently denied that rumor and basically he's like, no, it sucks that I'm leaving, but I understand it's a business. Julius Randle, on the other hand, I feel like this is saying goodbye. How do I put this?
To Amari Stoudemire. Like,
no, it's not. It's like, I'm trying to find like an analogy here, and it's like saying goodbye to like a teacher that like made you better at something. I don't know. I'm like
saying goodbye to that fringe friend you had in high school that when he goes to college, you're never going to talk to him again. But it was good that he was around. He made the experience better.
I'll just say this. He laid the groundwork. He laid the groundwork. He made New York an attractive place to be because he led that team in the playoffs in 2021. And it made people realize like, hey, like if the Knicks can be good, this is going to be like that play Madison Square Garden during the playoffs. It's going to be rocking. And then that's what brought Jalen Brunson here. And then Jalen Brunson just fucking Scott. I feel like Jalen Brunson's stock rose and Julius Randle's stock dipped. And it kind of sucks, but that's how this league
injuries,
goes.
Man.
Now, injuries, exactly. This how it works out for Minnesota. I wouldn't say his fit in Minnesota is perfect, but he's a better player than the public says he is.
I agree, I am going to ask you this. Because from my perspective, what it looks like for me was this is a complete business decision and that Minnesota wanted to move on from that $220 million contract. That's kind of what I'm getting at.
I think they want to build around Anthony Edwards.
And I 100% agree. I think you've had a guy for 9 years. He's been, I don't even want to say cornerstone because he hasn't done anything like at all without Anthony Edwards. But
yeah,
he's an all-star guy and very much comparable to Julius Randle in that sense where like, you know, they haven't really done anything individually. but I would say, like, career-wise, when you look at it, you're like, this is an all-star caliber player. But mm-hmm. from a business standpoint, I do think this is, we need to get on from that $220 million contract. They're probably going to roll that cap over. I'm not sure what free agency looks like next year. It might be a little too ambitious to think about, but yeah, they're going to throw money at guys now that they have it.
Mm-hmm. From the DiVincenzo side of things, he's an elite supporting piece on a cheap contract. His shooting is going to be critical. And now you have probably two of the best shooters in the league with Jaden McDaniels and DiVincenzo.
He's like Malik Beasley. DiVincenzo's Malik Beasley. Like, it's what he is. Yeah. He's what he is from what he was from Milwaukee, what he's going to be from Minnesota. Though,
if Julius Randle doesn't work in Minnesota, I don't think Minnesota has a problem with flipping his deal for a smaller contract.
Nope, I don't see an issue either. And I'm trying to wrap my head around guys who that could possibly be, where, I know, again, it's early, but a guy that you could move Randle for. Not too many come to mind, but I'm with you. I think you could definitely move on from that more quickly than you could a Karl Anthony Towns deal, where you're looking for so much more in return for Karl Anthony Towns than you probably are for Julius Randle.
Yeah, absolutely. But this felt like, it's so, like, funny to say because it's, like, kind of true. So this trade felt like a trade that, like, Bleacher Report would post and just be like, what if this happened?
Yeah. No, I It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense until it actually happens. It's one of those trades, like, where, like, yeah, when you look at it on paper, you're like, why the hell would they do that? But then you take a deeper look into it, and you're like, oh, well, okay, you move on from the $220 million contract. You're getting a supporting piece in DiVincenzo, potential perennial all-star in Julius Randle. So things could work out here in their favor, because clearly it wasn't working out with Karl Anthony Towns. I mean,
it was not.
It was not, and it was never going to work
out. I know they made the conference finals, but no one thought that this Rudy Gobert, Karl Anthony Towns thing was going to work.
It just won't. It won't.
And it kind of did, but, like, it's just
not,
like,
really. Not really.
It didn't get them over the hump.
And with teams like Oklahoma, Dallas, I mean, there's so much you need to get over in that sense, where they need just a boost. I don't know who, if that's Randle or some guy they get at the deadline, but you're right. They need a little bit more to get over that hump.
I also do want to mention, it seemed like the Knicks were not hell-bent on accepting Julius Randle, and I think that this goes to show you.
Why would they be?
And I just think it goes to show you that if the Knicks do not want to extend you, they're going to trade you, because that's the same thing that they did with Emmanuel Quickley.
I think they're in a position to do that now with the younger guys they have, and the way their team structures, that they're, and you can easy
kinda
flip.
And I will say, everyone's kind of saying that, like, the bench depth isn't going to be the greatest. Like, Deuce McBride, great addition. I think Tyler Kolek is going to be a fun guy to watch. He is going to be a fun guy to watch. He's like one of those guys that if he's on the team that you're playing against, you're going to fucking hate this kid. And I'm telling you right now, I'm so glad he's in there. Fits the fucking mentality perfectly. I've heard rumors of them using Dadier. We'll see. The bench is still, like, a bit of a question, but they're kind of laying the foundation right.
Might be off the board here, and it probably won't happen, but if you can get a guy like Davion Mitchell on that bench, just the defensive guard, to at least boost your defensive in that sense. I don't know. I feel like that could be a good bench guy you could throw in if you're down late minutes. You're not down late minutes, but you're trying to secure a lead, and Brunson needs time off the court. That's a guy that's a lockdown defender. That's a 3-and-D, a perfect 3-and-D point guard that you can use.
You're not wrong. We also have NBA injury news.
Media day for the Lakers. Oh, brought a tear to my eye, Stan.
Jaren Jackson Jr., feared to have suffered a strained hamstring on Tuesday, will undergo imaging. Von Miller has been suspended 4 games for violating the NFL's personal conduct policy.
The hell did Von Miller do?
I don't know. Davante Adams, the Raiders have informed other teams that they would consider trading Davante Adams for a package that would include a second round pick and additional compensation.
Bring him to New York.
We'll see. We'll see. All right. So this was part one. It was 55 minutes. We will see you guys tomorrow for part two, which is going to be NFL week 3 recap and picks and prediction. Week 4 recap and NFL week 3 picks and predictions. And then we'll do what I saw and all that jazz. So we will see you guys tomorrow. On to part two we go. Let's fucking go.